Okay, today's daf is Yom Daf Yud Dalet. We're holding at the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Now, you have to understand that the Kohen generally did not do all the Avodas because he would let others do it year-round. But on Yom Kippur, he had to do all the Avodas, in which case he had to practice a little bit. We had to get him used to doing the different Avodas. So, these 7 days were an excellent time to practice. Mishnah says as follows, Kol shivat hayamim hu zorek et adam, u maktir et haktoret, u metziv et hanerot, u makriv et harosh ve et haregel. Right? That these 7 days, he practices sprinkling the blood and burning the incense and setting up the lamps and actually sacrificing the head and the hind leg of the korban tamid, as was tradition. Shar kol hayamim im ratza lahakriv makriv, Shekohen Gadol Makriv Chelik Barosh V'notel Chelik Barosh. And if he wanted to do those avodot the rest of the year, he could have. As we know, the Kohen Gadol gets first dibs in terms of doing the korban and taking the meat. That's the Mishnah. Gemara Man Tana. So when the Gemara asks Man Tana, the assumption of the Gemara is that this Mishnah can't work according to all the Shitas. There must be specific Tanaim that this Mishnah works with. But other Tanaim, for whom the Mishnah would be contradictory to their Shitas. So Mantana, who's the author of this Mishnah? Amar Rav Chisda, Deloka Rabbi Akiva. Well, it can't be Rabbi Akiva, says Rav Chisda. Di'i Rabbi Akiva ha'amar tahor shenafla alav hazah timato hechi avid avoda. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, the water ash mixture made with the para aduma ashes, if it falls on a tahor person, it makes them tameh. As we know, this very curious aspect of the para aduma is that the para aduma ash water is used to purify tameh people, but it also makes impure pure people. It's an interesting function of the para aduma ashes. Now that's according to Rabbi Akiva. In which case, we sprinkle this on the Kohen Gadol all the entire week. In which case, how is he doing the avoda during that week? He's impure. Mistama, he was probably tahor. We take necessary precautions. Mistama, he was probably tahor. In which case, we just made him tameh. Now, how is he doing the avoda every day? Detanya, how do we know that this is Rabbi Akiva's shita? Well, we learned in a braita that this is Rabbi Akiva's shita. V'hiza atahor al hatameh. Al hatame tahor v'al tahor tameh. Tivur Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva explains from the pasuk of v'hiza tahor al tameh. That means to say that if it sprinkles on a tameh person, it becomes tahor. If it sprinkles on a tahor person, he becomes tameh. Because we know this is Rabbi Akiva's shita, we would assume that he would assume that the Kohen Gadol is tameh and therefore can't do the avoda. In which case, we cannot assume that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Akiva's shita. The Chachamim Amrim, that Braita continues, that the Chachamim say differently. Al Dvarim Alalu Amurin Elu B'Dvarim Mekablim Tuma. The Chachamim use the same pasuk of Hiza Tahor Al Tameh, not to teach you that it's Metame the Tahor and Tahor Tmeim, right? Rather, that the sprinkling is only considered Hazah if you sprinkle it on something that's Mekablim Tuma. Okay, what's the nafka mina for such a shita? It's only considered sprinkling if you sprinkle on something that's mekabel tuma. Here's the nafka mina, my heat, right? What's the nafka mina that the Gemara asks? Kenetan. The nafka mina is as follows. What we learned in the Mishnah: it's kavin lahazot al behema v'hizal adamim yesh be'ezov yishne. If you're trying to sprinkle something on an animal, and instead you sprinkled the ashes on a person is mekabel tuma, an animal is not. Okay, well then you sprinkle it on a person, in which case it's considered the hazaa, and then you can go back and sprinkle it on something else without re-dipping. Okay, what does that mean? What are we saying here? So we have to understand that the function of hazaa, according to the Chachamim, is to sprinkle it on something that's mekabel tuma in order to purify it. Now, the hazaa, the ash waters cannot be used for other mundane purposes. It can only be used to mitaher mitameim. That's its function. What if you do use it for something else? Then it's considered that you did an inappropriate work with these ash waters, and that makes the rest of the ash waters that you're holding puzzle. Okay, so when the Kohen uses this branch, this hyssop branch, dips it in the ash waters, and it retains a significant amount of water. And then he sprinkles it on something that's mekabel tuma. Well, he did what he did was appropriate. In which case, the rest of the waters that are still on the branch can be used for another purpose, for a second sprinkling, because they're still perfectly fine. You use them for the appropriate purpose. But what if you dip the branch in the ash water and then sprinkle it on an animal that's not mekabel tuma? The rest of the waters on that branch can't be used for anything else, because you passed the waters on the branch by using it for something inappropriate. Now it's considered that these were used for a mundane purpose, in which case you have to re-dip. How did the Chachamim learn this? From the pasuk of Vehiza HaTaor HaTameh, what they learned was the only thing that constitutes Hazah is when a Tahor person sprinkles on something that's Mekabel Tuma. But if you sprinkle on something that's not Mekabel Tuma, it's not called Hazah. In which case, what's it called? It's called you used it inappropriately. And that passes the rest of the waters on the branch. Now we can understand the Nafka Mina the Gemara is describing. Right? Kid, it's not. We learned the Mishnah. It's Kavan Lazot Al Behema Vihiza La Adam. Im Yeshbe Ezov Yishne. If you meant to sprinkle it on an animal, but instead you sprinkle it on a person, well, if there's anything left on the branch, use it again. Who cares? You can use it again. It's still perfectly fine. It's Kavan Lazot Al Ha Adam. Vihiza La Behema Yeshbe Ezov Yishne. However, if you intended to sprinkle it on a person, but instead you sprinkle it on an animal, which is not Mekabel Tuma, you can't use the water on the branches again. You made the rest of the waters possible. Okay, so now we have this machloket Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. And because of Rabbi Akiva's shita, that it makes the Tahor Tameh, we gotta assume that the Kohen Gadol, who you sprinkled it upon, was Tahor, is now Tameh. He can't be doing the Avoda. How does the Mishnah say he should be? My time with Rabbi Akiva. What's Rabbi Akiva's Svara? Nichtov Rahmana Vehiza HaTahor Allah. My al hatameh shmamina al hatameh tahor val tahor tameh. Well, Rabbi Akiva says the pasuk is interesting because it could have very easily said that the tahor person has to sprinkle it on him. We know who we're talking about. We know we're talking about a tameh person who's coming to the kohen, and we could have just said that the tahor person sprinkles it on him, on the tameh person who's coming. But from the fact that the Torah says hat Tahor al hatameh, I can understand from this textual nuance that it's only when it's sprinkled on a tameh person that he becomes tahor. However, if you sprinkle it on someone who isn't tameh, then the opposite happens. Rabbanon, why did the Rabbanon hold that it says hatahor al hatameh if we just established that seemingly that's not a necessary term? It's superfluous to say tameh. So No. The reason it says hatahor alatameh instead of hatahor alav is to teach you something about the thing you're sprinkling it on. That it needs to be tameh, and if it is tameh, then it's considered hazah. And if it's not something that's tameh or something that can't even contract to, what's not considered hazah. In which case, it's just you're using it for inappropriate purpose. That's why it says tameh, because it needs to be something that's mekabel tuma lehalacha. However, as far as what Rabbi Akiva is concerned with, that on the tahor person, he's going to become tameh. No, that's a kal v'chomer. If it's metaher the tameh kal v'chomer, it's going to be metaher the tahor. We don't have to worry about Rabbi Akiva's concern. For Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, how do you respond to such a kal v'chomer? It's a pretty good kal v'chomer. No, it's counterintuitive, Rabbi Akiva is saying, that while it makes a tameh person tahor, it makes a tahor person tameh. So says Rabbi Akiva, Hainu tekamar shlomo, amarti achokma v'hi rechoka bimeni. Rabbi Akiva says, inachinami, it's counterintuitive. However, we have a source for the Parah Aduma working in a counterintuitive way from that which Shlomo Melech says. That Shlomo Melech says, you know, I've become wise, but this is still beyond my understanding. He's talking about the Parah Aduma. Now, what is it about the Parah Aduma that even though Shlomo Melech was the wisest of them all, he couldn't figure it out? The fact that it works in a counterintuitive way, a counterintuitive manner. V'Rabbanan. How would the Rabbanan understand the statement of Shlomo Melech by the Parah Aduma? Seemingly, Rabbi Akiva is a good proof. Even Shlomo Melech couldn't figure this out because it doesn't work in accordance with normal logic, like a Kal v'Chomer works in accordance with normal logic. It works in a counterintuitive fashion. The Rabbanon. So, how are the Rabbanon going to understand this? How ulemaze ulemazin alav tahor v'nogeya bahen tameh. who says, say the Rabbanan, what Shlomo Melech was commenting on, yes, was a counterintuitive element of the Parah Aduma. And that is to say this, while anyone you sprinkle it upon becomes Tahor, whether they're Tameh or Tahor, if you just touch the ash water, without it being sprinkled upon you, as the pasuk indicates, that person becomes tameh, right? Meaning, because you're touching ashes. You're touching ashes of a burnt up animal. You're going to become tameh. Oh, but doesn't this thing make someone tahor? Yeah, the Torah says it makes it tahor when you sprinkle it. So it's only when it's sprinkled that you become tahor. I don't care if you're tameh or tahor at the time. If it's sprinkled upon you, you become tahor. That's what the Torah says. But if you just go ahead and touch it and you don't do what the Torah says, you become tameh. And that's what Shlomo Melech was commenting on. Umazeh tahor, v'achtiv umazeh mehanida yichabes begadav. Wait one second. In all cases, if it's sprinkled upon you, you become tahor. Is that really true, Rabbanan? But don't we have an explicit Mishnah? Sorry, don't we have an explicit pasuk that says that someone who sprinkles these waters needs to rinse his garments, implying that they became tameh. In which case, this is a tumah contracted through sprinkling and not just through touching. My mazeh, okay. So the Gemara says in defense of the Chachamim's shita that this mazeh is talking about touching them. Vachtiv mazeh, vachtiv nogea. Wait one second. The Torah makes clear what it means. When it's talking about touching, it says nogea. When it's talking about sprinkling, it says mazeh. How are you going to come and tell me that this time when it says mazeh means nogea? We make a distinction between these terms. You can't assume that the Torah is talking about one when it's talking about the other. Furthermore, mazeh ba'i kibus begadin, nogea lo ba'i kibus begadin. There's a difference lahalacha. If you touch it, you become tameh, right? But that doesn't mean you have to wash your clothing. Right? Here, you have to wash your clothing. So I know it can't be talking about touching it. Rather, it's talking about sprinkling it. Elamai mazeh nosea. Rather, let's defend it in a different way. Yes, nogea means nogea. Right? Nogea means touching it. However, mazeh here means carrying it. Right? Then there's a difference between touching it and carrying it. If you carry it, if you sprinkle it, you're always tahor. If you touch it, you're tameh. If you carry it, you have to wash your clothing. Okay, well, let the Torah just write noseya, carry. Now, realize this is not as good a challenge as the one before. Because before, the Torah specified nogea and specified mazah. In which case, it was very hard to say that it meant nogea when it said mazah, when it said hazah. However, the Torah never says noseya. In which case, we can't say that the Torah already makes this distinction. What we can say is, well, why doesn't the Torah write noseya if it's talking about carrying it? My time, achtiv mazeh. Why would it write mazeh if it meant noseya? Ha'akamash melanda be'inan shiur hazah. Because what it teaches us is that you need a shiur hazah. Not just if you carry any amount. You have to carry the amount that you need for a sprinkling in order to become tameh. Right? If it just went to carry, then if you would carry any amount, you'd assume that this is the case. But it's not true. Only if you carry the amount that you need to carry in order to do the sprinkling. Hanich leman damar hazah tzrich hashur. Leman damar hazah ein tzrich hashur ma'ik lamemar. Well, that answer works according to those who believe that there is a minimum shiur for the hazah. So you have to carry the amount that you need to sprinkle. However, according to the shita that says there is no minimum amount, there's no shiur. Well, then how are you mitaritz? How do you understand the Chachamim's shita? There's no minimum amount, so why would the Torah say hazah when it meant noseya? Afilu ma damar hazah ein tzricha shiur, hani mili agaba de gavra, ava mamana tzricha shiur. Nobody holds that it doesn't need a shiur in the mixture. Of course it needs a shiur in the mixture. It's only, they say, that it doesn't need a shiur on the sprinkling, meaning the tiniest of drop can go on the person, that's fine. However, the waters that you have need a shiur. There need to be enough waters to fully dip the branch into the waters. Afterward, how much goes on the person, that doesn't need a shiur. But you need a shiur there in Melech Hatchila. As we learned in the Mishnah, kama yehe behen v'yehe kidei hazah. How much waters do you need in order to perform the hazah? Kidei sheyitbol, enough that you can mix it, that you can dip it in. Sheyitbol roshe givolin v'yaze. Enough that you can dip the tips of the hyssop into the waters and then do the hazah. So even though there's no minimum shiur with the sprinkling, everyone agrees that there's a minimum shiur of how much water you need there. Abaye Amar, okay, let's rewind for a second, right? Because our whole debate just came from the idea that we can't be following Rabbi Akiva's Shita. Rather, we must be following the Chachamim's Shita in the Mishnah, and then we discussed, okay, what's the machlok in Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim? Why does Rabbi Akiva hold his way, and how would he defend himself against the Chachamim? Why do the Chachamim hold their way? How do they defend themselves against Rabbi Akiva? But in comes Abaye and says, even Rabbi Akiva could be the author of our Mishnah. Not so fast. This could be also Rabbi Akiva's Shita. How so? How could this be Rabbi Akiva's Shita? Rabbi Akiva would hold the coin, his tahor, his tameh, and how could he be doing the avoda? David avoda kula yoma. Fanya modi ale. V'tavil v'avid ha'erev shemesh. Okay, so here's what he does, right? We do the hazah on the kohen every day. Okay, so what do? He does the avodah in the morning, and then we sprinkle the ashes on him, and then he goes to the mikvah, and then by nightfall he's tahor again, and then he does the avodah the next morning, you know, and then repeat. Could be Rabbi Kiva as well. Umaktir taktora to maktiv taneirot. Okay, so he practices burning the incense and setting up the candles. El alma ktorit bereshiv ha'adar neirot. Is this implying that first you burn the incense and then you position the neirot? Uraminhu, but I can contradict that order of events which is posed here, that the ktorit comes before the neirot from the following praita. Bishazacha b'dishun mizbeach apnimi u'bishazacha b'minoro u'bishazacha b'ktorit. The Kohen who has the privilege of clearing off the Mizbeach, the Kohen who has the privilege of setting up the candles, the Kohen who has the privilege of burning the incense, seems to be that we list the privileges the Kohen can receive, and we put setting up the candles before burning the incense, right? So which one comes first? Contradictory Braitot. Amar Rav Huna, or contradictory Tanaic sources. Amar Rav Huna, man tana tamid Rav Shua, ish ha-mitzpah hu. Right, yeah, the author there that we just quoted, that was Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpah. He's the author of the Mishnahs in Tamid. So just different, it's different tonight. One holds that first comes the incense burning, and one holds that first comes the candle setting up. V'ha Ibcha Shamin and Lay. Wait 1 second. We're saying that Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpah is the author there of the Mishnayot and Tamid. Didn't we hear the opposite? The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Balu L'Keren Mizrach Hitzfoni. Right, that in Tamid, it says that the Kohen comes to the north east corner, Noten Mizrach Hitzfona, and he puts blood on the northeast corner. Ma'aravit Dromit Noten Ma'arva Droma. And then he comes to the southwest corner and he puts blood on the southwest corner. Betani Allah. Now, it was taught about that Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMatzpeh Mishnah Betami. The Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMatzpeh changes that up. He changes what we learned in the Mishnah and Tamid. Mizrachi Tzvonit Noten Mizrachi Tzvona. Ma'arvi Dromit Noten Ma'arva V'charkach Droma. Right, so first the Kohen comes to the northeast corner and he puts the blood on the northeast corner. And then he comes to the southwest corner, he puts blood on the south corner, and then he puts blood on the west, on the south side, and then he puts blood on the western side, as opposed to the southwest corner. In which case, if Rabbi Shimon Ish Matzpeh is being cholek on a Mishnah in Tamid, it's unlikely that he is the author of the Mishnayot in Tamid. Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan Man Tana Seder Yoma Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMatzpeh. Rather, switch it around. Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMatzpeh is the one who taught the Mishnah in Yoma, and the not the Mishnah in Tamid. So still, we can maintain that they're two different authors. Just not that the author of the Tamid of the Mishnah in Tamid is Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMatzpeh, rather than our author here is Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMatzpeh. The Rami Seder Yoma, a Seder Yoma. But then I have a contradiction within Yoma itself. Nitnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Pais Hasheni mi shochet, mi zorek, mi bedashen mizbeach apnimi, umi bedashen et haminora, umi malay varim lekevesh, Pais Hashlishi chalashim lektoret, bo vefisu. Okay. So they would roll these lotteries to see which coin got to do what, which avoda, right? So the second lottery was used to determine what? Who slaughters the korban and who sprinkles the blood and who clears off the mizbeach and who clears off the menorah and who puts the limbs on the ramp to be burned. And then the third lottery determines what? Who burns up the ktoret. So this Mishnah, also in Yoma, seems to put the Ketoret after setting up the Neirot, as opposed to our previous Mishnah in Yoma seems to put the Ketoret before the menorah. So no matter what you do, you have a stira in the Mishnayot about what comes first. Amar Abaye Lokasha. Abaye says that's not a problem. Kan matavat shtei Neirot, kan matavat chamesh Neirot. See, there were different sets of candles that were positioned. First, five candles were set up. Then there was a hektara after the five candles were set up. That's when you burned the incense. And then you set up the last two candles. So it's not a problem, because one is talking about when you say the hektara is first, that's talking about it's before the last two candles. When you say the hektara is second, that's after the first five candles. Lememra divi ketoret mafsik lehu. Wait 1 second, but that would imply that what comes in between the five candles and the two candles, the burning of the incense. The ha'abaye mesader maracha mishmei de gemara. But wait 1 second. Abaye taught the order of the avoda in accordance with that which we taught in a different place. But damatamid mafsik lehu, that the sprinkling of the blood of the korban tamid is what comes in between the five candles and the two candles. And now you're saying it's the Ketoret that comes between them? This resolution is no good. It doesn't help us. Because the Ketoret is not what separated the candles, the five candles and the two candles. The sprinkling of the blood was what separated them. Amri lokasha, hahila Abba Shaul halarabanan. Yeah, that's not a problem. Because it's according to Abba Shaul that the blood is sprinkling, that the sprinkling of the blood is what separates them. However, according to the Rabbanan, it's the Ketoret that separates them. Netanya, how do we know that this machloket between Rabbanan and Abba Shaul here, in terms of what creates the hefsek between the five candles and the two candles? Netanya, we learned in a braita, lo yeti v'tanerot v'acharkach yaktir, elo yaktir v'acharkach yetiv. You shouldn't set up the candles and then do the incense. Rather, do the incense and then set up the candles. Abba Shaul omer. However, Abba Shaul says, meiti v'acharkach maktir. First you set up the candles and then you do the incense. Clearly we have a machloket, Rabbanan and Abba Shaul, where Abba Shaul says, first you set up the candles and then you do the Akhtara. My time at Abba Shaul. What's Abba Shaul? Svara, dichtiv, babokir, babokir, meitivo, etanerot, vahadar, yaktirena. It says every single morning when you set up the candles, and then after it says when you burn up the incense. Clearly setting up the candles, according to Abba Shaul, it seems apparent from the pasuk that the setting up the candles should precede the Akhtara. In which case, we have a machloket Rabbanan and Abba Shaul about what comes first, the haktara and the neirot. So, if you want to tell me that the haktara, if you want to tell me this is a machloket, a stira between what comes right before the neirot, the haktara or the sprinkling of the blood, it's no problem. One is according to the Rabbanan, one is according to Abba Shaul. Now, we're right in the middle of a topic, because we have to explain how the Rabbanan would read this pasuk. It seems shot in the pasuk is that the candles come before the haktara. However, we have to stop here, in which case we'll continue with this machloket tomorrow.